All right, I want you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, and I want to explain just with this verse, and I'll continue with this lesson, and why I chose the Jeremiah path. Jeremiah, Jehovah will rise. Amen?
Amen.
That's the purpose of this lesson, and that's why in my own study, I try to go back to this in a lot of ways. You'll hear it in a lot of my sermons on my teaching, and that's more than anything is trying to teach the Word of God as it is. God gave us a book. Amen?
Yeah.
It's a book to guide us. We have a book, a physical book here with the Word of God in it. And so God does want us to know what this book has in it.
Bam.
It's not something secret. God is not some spook trying to throw something mystic at you. He's got the Word of God for you here. You can understand it.
Ma'am.
So when I say some things about the Old Testament and try to draw them to the New Testament, nothing hard about that. It's just that the natural has to become spiritual.
Right.
Amen?
Ma'am.
That's simply what this is about. That's why you have an old covenant that has to become a new covenant.
Right.
So the old covenant, natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him.
Right.
So new covenant, now you're a spiritual man. You can understand God.
Ma'am.
Amen? Now God's got to draw that gap between him, which is so far away from you,
right.
That dust. I was out there cleaning out my wife's vacuum cleaner yesterday. And that dust went everywhere, man. I thought to myself, it come to my mind, God, how did you do that? So everything I'm doing here is connected. Every lesson. When I came to you the first time and I preached, be ye reconciled to God. That's the whole point. I want to see you reconciled to God. Way up the night last night, I'm praying for you. When I stand here, I'm praying for you. I see you in my mind. I'm praying for you. Not somebody out there. I don't know what they need. But I do have you in my mind as I'm praying. And I see the daylight come up in the mornings because I want you to know the Scripture.
Amen.
This book, if I don't make this Scripture come to life, then I've got a problem. Amen? I've got a problem. So let's not say, hey, it's far over my head. What we've got to do, and I know, and I've said this, I know college graduated people that can't understand the simple things about the Bible.
Right.
You got to understand the Bible to know what God wants to do for you.
Amen.
And why he created you. I can take you to the last church letter, and it says, Jesus said, I am the beginning of the creation of God.
Amen.
And yet he created man from dust, but there's got to be a new creation in John chapter 3. And it says you must be born again.
Right.
Meaning you don't go back to your mother's womb. Now be born spiritual. What is the physical without the spiritual?
Man.
My wife sometimes, she'll get over there and she'll say, hey, let's put that thing, that crown molding up or something. I said, I don't feel like putting that crown molding up. She said, I want to put that crown molding up. 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 And I finally look at her and say, I can't sit down and rest for you. But you know what? I get up and put the crown molding up, and after all, the crown molding got put up. Amen? When the Bible says you must be born again, you must be born again. For 2,000 years we've been preaching, you must be born again. Amen? What's the whole idea there? You must be born again. And God's not going to let up until you're born again. Amen? And that's the whole purpose of the Bible. But there's lessons in the Bible that have to tie together when Jesus comes. Who is that man in the Jordan River? Why was it that Jacob wasn't the one, his family standing there saying, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Why was that man, that rough guy, crying out of the wilderness there? Why was it him? And why was his father what was he? Zechariah was a Levite, right? Why was he a Levite? Was born through Jacob. But yet that man right there is the one, it was Esau, it represented Esau, which was his older brother. You see my point? You got to draw everything to the Bible to make sure it works right, because everybody must be born again.
Amen.
Now, I didn't finish, and I'm going to draw my lesson to what we preached last week, because everything I do is going to be about this. In the lesson, and Adolf Hitler said this, it's a good thing for leaders that men don't think.
Yeah.
You got to think, know what the Bible is. So many people don't know what's in the First Chronicles, Second Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, because of those genealogies, because they're boring. Amen? They don't think. But they all tie together.
Yeah.
Your Bible is tied together in Genesis 1 to Revelation 22.
Right.
21. Every bit of it is tied together. Through a genealogical aspect, it is all tied together. In the Old Testament, of course, that genealogy is to bring you to Christ. You can't be made in the image of God until God becomes an image himself, but God's not an image. Amen?
Amen.
He's not an image until Christ becomes the image. He is the Almighty God. Revelation 1 tells us that. We saw that. He has had to come into this place with us so that we could be made in His image. And that's why the Holy Ghost had to seal you until the day of redemption. So you're sealed until the day of redemption.
Amen.
Now, let me go over a couple of things after I pray. And I'm going to take my watch off for just a minute because I want to stay on time with you. And I've got to, what, 10:30? Okay. Don't let me forget that's there. Go back with me now. And before I pray, I want you to go back to Jeremiah. And I want you to go to chapter 6, and I want you to look at verse 16 with me, and then I want to take off from there and try to review a little bit, and then I want to bring you up to some more things. And then next week, our Sunday school lesson is about this, why I am an independent Baptist. Not because Brother Ronnie Dabbs was an independent Baptist, yet he led me to the Lord, he was an independent Baptist. Not because Dr. Bob Gray taught me the values of being an independent Baptist, and yet that's not the reason I'm independent Baptist. I've had to learn myself why I'm independent Baptist from Scripture. And so that's why I teach that I am an independent Baptist. And we have to go back to why is it that God, if you're going to give an account for everything you do, whether it be good or whether it be bad, you're going to give an account for that individually.
Right.
Not some ecumenical movement. You are. And so as a church body here, we are going to be responsible sitting on this little bank right here for what happened in churches. Churches will be judged. Individuals will be judged. Nations will be judged.
Yep.
The dead will be judged.
Yeah.
We've got to keep that in mind. A church will be judged for what they did in their community. And so that's why I'm going to that point, just to let you know where I'm headed. So in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. That is disobedience at its fullest, right? And that's the way mankind is today. We don't care what you say. We're going to do it our way. That's where we've come to in life. I bet many people, I don't care what you say. I pastored a church. They said, hey, I had a woman tell me with a man that had been there for 50 years, I baptized him. When I was preaching on this thing one night about separation, an unsaved person shouldn't marry a saved person. She said, you know, you just said if I was saved when I married Johnny, this man, I won't say his name. And she said, I was saved, he was not. But you were telling me I shouldn't have married him. I said, well, that's what a priest is not.
Right.
She said, I had to do it anyway. I said, what am I here for? Man. You know, used to pastor you because you ain't going to do what I tell you anyway.
Man.
What good is it?
Right.
You know, see where I'm headed here? We have a direct instruction from God on how to live a good life so God can bless us. And it's that connection to God that's going to bring you value. It's going to bring you a new life. It's going to bring you hope. It's going to bring you joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That is the fruits of the Spirit. You want to know what a Spirit-filled man is? You go to them 9 traits. Not 10 commandments. Nine things that a spiritual man has. And remember what I said. You got that word temperance as the last one. And that means you've been tempered. That means you've been through the fire, the Holy Ghost. I'd rather go through the fire of the Holy Ghost, Him teaching me, than I had to go through the fires of hell, wouldn't you? You're going to be tempered one day, one way or the other. You will either die and be in hell forever and ever and ever because you rejected God, or let the Holy Spirit temper you and teach you the things of God. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Amen? He is our teacher. That's why he came to us to seal us until the day of redemption. The same word seal is the same word for the cross right there, where God plowed through history to bring you to the cross. Now you can come to the cross and you'll find the Son of God sitting there with His arms out.
Amen.
There's two things you need to understand about the hand of God. Number 10 is the closed hand. When He's told them, I've got you in my hand, that's what He means. But you look at the 11th letter of their alphabet, it's the open hand. And that's what they slapped Jesus with there in the garden, by the way. Why? They said, we don't want Him as our Savior.
Right.
He opened His hand out to humanity and stretched them out. And if you reject Him, you will be in hell throughout all of eternity. There is no other way for life, folks. It's just that simple.
Man.
There is no other way. He's God's way. And God had to come and do it for us to give us life. And so that's why He said, I am the beginning of the creation of God. Father, thank You so much for these that sit before me right now at this time. God, I pray that if there's somebody here that's never heard that Jesus Christ loves them, and God loves them so much that He came and died for their sins, I pray that they would understand the gospel today. I pray that they would understand that this book is direction for their lives. They can have a new life in Christ Jesus, and God's blessings upon them day by day as they live. And I pray that you would bless this lesson. Bless it to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now let me take you to the book of Matthew. And I'm going somewhere with this because I want you to understand the new birth. When John chapter 3, and he told Nicodemus, the ruler of the people, they had come, and these were the people that should have understood that their Messiah was going to come. The Word of God plainly says in the book of Isaiah, God is our salvation. That's what it is. The prophets have said that. So God is my salvation. He's going to come as my salvation. So Jesus' name is salvation. He is salvation. Amen. He is not about salvation. He is salvation. And you don't have life and salvation without Him.
Amen.
He is salvation. So you want every bit of Him you can get.
Amen.
Now, when He said to that ruler, and he came to him by night, and he said, you must be born again. He didn't say, hey, I would reckon if you'd like to be, you could be born again. He said, you must be born again.
Right.
You can't have life without being born again. Why? The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Literally cannot. Natural man don't understand God. That's why Adam and Eve could not understand God. That's why at Mount Sinai they could not understand God. They chose a golden calf. They could not understand God. You want to look at the word in the beginning, God, Elohim. You'll see it nearly 3,000 times used there in the phrases there when it says He's the almighty, powerful God of the universe.
Amen.
And there ain't no way you're going to understand Him. Amen?
Right.
Unless Jesus Christ comes, salvation plan of God comes to reveal Him to you, you ain't going to know Him.
Right.
And so that's why God had to come as a man to reveal the Father to us. And He is the Father. So He and the Father are one, and the Holy Ghost is one.
Amen.
And that's why when you get saved, and we joke around this thing about once saved, always saved. Go with me right quick to 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to take you to a point. Right here, you're saved, and you don't understand a lot of things. There's a lot of things about the Bible I can't understand because, look at this, I'm now in a new relationship with God. I just said, Lord, will you come into my heart and be my Savior?
Amen.
You've got the Almighty God of heaven living in your bosom.
Right.
You got as much of Him as you're going to get.
Amen.
Now, how much does He have of you? That's the key.
Amen.
That's the key, because He's come. His Holy Spirit has sealed you until the day of redemption.
Amen.
Now, if you look at 1 John chapter 3 and you get over there and remember that John was that last, he's that last apostle. Do you realize that there is nothing in this book that's past 100 A.D.? I have people say that in Catholicism, adding all of these things to the Bible. You better not add nothing to this book, but this book was given to you within 100 A.D. There's nothing. And number 100, remember what I told you in the alphabetical arrangement, is the back of the head. We're going back, amen? We're looking at the cross.
Amen.
We go to the cross, we're going back to the old past, learn. That's what they're doing. The Scripture is the Old Testament. The New Testament is the fulfillment of the Scriptures. Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law until all be fulfilled.
Right.
The law is the first five books of Moses. You got five books, 12 books, five books, five books, 12 books. You want to memorize them in order like that. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy is the first five books. It's law. That's the books of life. Then Exodus, names. Then you got Leviticus, be holy as I'm holy. And then they were out in the wilderness, a numbering of Israel. And then you've got Deuteronomy, the second law. Deutero means two, like Deutero Isaiah was the second part of Isaiah, which was the salvation plan of the 27 books. Now, if you were to take the 27 books, remember there's 39 in your Old Testament, but there's 27 in the New Testament. What if you added Israel? So Israel's lost, right, as a 12 nations. And by the way, they came out of the Babylonian captivity in 70 years. You come over to 70 years in the temple was destroyed in 70 A.D., but when Israel became a nation in 1948, 48, 58, 68, 78, 88, 98, 208, and 218, there'd be 70 years. Where are they going to pick up at? Right where they left off, at the temple.
Yep.
They're going to build the temple again, amen? You saying He's coming back in 2018? Well, you keep telling me He's coming soon, amen? I'm just telling you what the Jews are looking for.
Well,
church don't go by dates. We go by getting people saved. Amen? That's what we're for, folks. We're begging you to get saved.
Amen.
That's my job. That's my mission, is to get people saved.
Well,
you know, I want to read this before I get started. You're going to stir it up. Here He says in 1 John chapter 3. Read this verse with me. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, right?
Which verse?
Whosoever. Verse 9, chapter 3. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You see that? That's where we're headed, folks, with the Scripture. And that's where I'm telling you, you'll be born again, but I'm going to teach you things in the Bible where God has got has invested himself in you.
Amen.
And he's going to try to get you to be so invested in him, you think, hey, I couldn't be saved if I wanted to be saved. I've heard that preached. I couldn't get unsaved if I even tried to get unsaved. I'm a once saved, always preacher.
Amen.
That's one reason I teach this is because of Baptist, because of baptism, immersion. I'm going to show you something in just a minute. You know a baby is 100% water when he's born? Oh, yeah. You don't believe it? Why don't you try nursing sometime and watch a baby be born? He's coming out of water. Amen. He's 100% water when he's in the womb. And a person is 70 to 80% water, according to who you talk to. And if you look at it, here's what a guy said. They look at water and how it makes all life possible. The Nobel Prize winner George Wald, who was born in 1906, believed that our universe was designed to support life. The evidence, he said, is clearly apparent in the elements carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen. They all have unique properties. They fit the job and are not shared by any element in the periodic system, and life everywhere has to be made of some combination of these four simple building blocks. I'm going to take you back to where I let off the other day and didn't get to give you this illustration. Remember when Philip, well, Philip means fond of horses, and when Jesus said, when Philip said, Lord, we don't know the way. Where are we going? How are we going to know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, Philip.
Yeah.
Philip means fond of horses. And now I'm going to tell you something. You know, I preached this thing one time, and I don't know if people understand it, but you go over yonder and Jesus coming back out of heaven on white horses, you'll see what's going on there. We're going to come back on white horses. Amen. Yeah. Philip is fond of horses. But old Philip the evangelist is over there preaching. There's an Ethiopian eunuch, and he goes down and he comes across some water, and he's reading Isaiah, and he says, hey, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized? You know what? He preaches to him, and he gets him. Then he winds up down somewhere else in Azotus, was it not? Now, that's like me and Brother Hickey does not. We may get off somewhere, and we may be preaching here, and we may wind down yonder at Logan somewhere. Amen? And what I'm trying to tell you is he left and went to Azotus. Why? Why is that word so important when it's the only word in your Bible there in the New Testament? Because that word takes you back to a phrase, and there's no kids in here, right? You go back to that phrase, the bastard shall not dwell in Ashdod. Then you go to Zechariah, a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod. But you come over to the book of Hebrews, and it says there that if you are without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons.
Right.
It's just that simple. That's the word of God.
Yeah.
That's not me trying to say a word there. That's the word of God. I said that because I'm going to say this. That word means a mongrel race. Do you realize, and people tell me all the time, why do you go back to that Old Testament language? I've had a friend of mine that's a pastor, been pastoring years before I was even saved. And yet he studied the Hebrew. And yet he said, well, why do you go back to them old letters like that and say something about them? Well, you tell me why the mongrel race is the one that still got them today, and I'll tell you, they're the ones that's going to give them back to Israel. Those Samaritans still have those letters. They still do their sacrificing just like they did in the Old Testament. They've still got them. So why are the Jews not got them? Because they've been wandering out there dead in the wilderness in the world now for 2,000 years and over. They came out of the Babylonian captivity after their 70 years. 70 A.D., that temple was destroyed, and then they've been out there ever since. They're dead. I spoke to a man yesterday. Would you like to see the Apostle Paul pushing a buggy down in Walmart? Brother Allen Lord, that missionary was talking about it. I talked to him yesterday. He said, I'm down here pushing a buggy down Walmart. So I talked to him while he was pushing his buggy. And you know, that's the kind of person right there. If the Apostle Paul lived in our day, could he not have done the same thing?
Right.
That's the kind of people we support, is people that go out and preach to the Jews that their Savior has come.
Right.
That's the same kind of person, folks. He's going to give up his house here, his home and everything, and go move to Israel so he can make sure and welcome those Jews back into the land.
Amen.
He's welcoming them back. And now Jesus can come back. He can't come back until they get in the land, right?
Right.
Because he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's why we're so close. People don't think about this, but hey, when they get back in that land and become a nation again, they lost their status as a nation, they lost their language, they lost their spirituality. They didn't have spirituality. They lost it. They're no nation. And without them, God can't have a kingdom. Because if you look at the first letter in your alphabetical arrangement, I mean the first word that says God, it's got E-L, which is Elif and Lamed. Lamed is the 12th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and that's why there's 12 of them, praise God. It's 12 tongues, 12 teaching. That's why the tree of life over there, they are trees of life. That's why in eternity people are going to come and stand before a holy God, and if they don't come, they don't have life. Amen? God's got to prepare us for that event. And we are the most important people in the world today as the church.
Right.
We can't find our identity. Who's going to give it to us?
Amen.
They don't know it. These ecumenicals don't have it, folks.
Right.
They're out there struggling for an identity. They don't have it.
Right.
Let me give you something. Here's what he said. Remember, water is the only element known to man. Oh, by the way, let me get back to that Azotus thing. That word Azotus means the unlivable. That's where he went to. He went down there to a place where it's unlivable. That's what it means. That's what Ashdod means. And in the Old Testament, maybe it means a little different word. It means a mongrel. And if I was to go out to prison or somewhere, and if you were to find somebody that just slap kills and destroys your family, brother, and you go down yonder somewhere and you watch him as they're putting him in Yalamama, or you go down there and you look at him and say, you mongrel, I'm going to watch you die because of what you did. It's a vicious, vicious person. That's what that is. It's a mongrel race. Look at Israel. They went out in 722 B.C. They told God, I don't want to be your people. Why?
Right.
But yet God came and died on the cross to save them.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? That is something, folks.
Yeah.
We need to understand who we're serving here. We need to understand that people that are sitting in pews are not just here and say, well, if you don't hurry up, you don't get saved now. We know you can believe in any God you want to. That's a bunch of malarkey.
Amen.
You don't believe in the true God and the living God, and if you do not have Jesus Christ your Savior, you will die and go to hell.
Right.
Because God created you for Himself. I don't care who it is that's preaching. I don't care how high a person jumps as long as he's walking straight when he hits the floor. Amen? You can jump up and down. I love to shout. I love to do all those things. I love to praise God. But buddy, it's about how you walk. It's about your identity with Jesus Christ. It's going to count in this life. And people don't really care. I don't care if you ever know my name. I don't care. You're going to learn about me as we go here. You're going to learn some of my heartbeat on this lesson because you know how I preach. But it doesn't matter who I am. It matters your identity and what I'm saying about your identity. Call me Mr. Bible if you want to. Long as you know this book. Amen. Long as you know what's in this book, it counts.
Amen.
That's all that matters. Come judgment day, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter how rich you are. The man that the Nobel Peace Prize, the man there, read his own obituary. You know what changed his mind and why he gave up his fortune to have the Nobel Prize? He invented dynamite. And his brother died and they thought it was him. So they had his obituary and he read his own obituary and said he invented the thing that killed so many people. He didn't want to be remembered like that. So he started the Nobel Peace Prize. Read his own obituary. Why don't you read your own obituary sometime and realize, I wonder what it's going to read like. It ain't going to read, I was rich, man, and I was famous. It's going to read, and that's what most people would like to have. But it ain't going to do them one bit of good in hell.
Right.
It's not going to do you one bit of good, don't matter what you've got. You ain't going to back no U-Haul up to that graveyard and take it off with you.
Amen.
It'll decay. It'll rot. All those pyramids with them pharaohs in it, that's just dead and gone. Look at that. People already excavated them and enjoying them today. Even. They've got them out there saying, hey, look what we got. That old boy just left us some good stuff. He didn't take them with him. He ain't going to find them on the other side.
Right.
That's a hot place. He ain't going to need them. And when we come to this, I want to give you something in just a minute because I want you to understand where I'm going with this. The first chief rabbi of Israel said, the old must be made new and the new must be made sacred. When I studied the book of Hebrews, there's an old rabbi that says this, if you want to know who Melchizedek is, you need to go to the Christian scriptures and find out who he is because they don't have a clue. Why? Because it's about spiritual things and they don't understand spiritual things. Even Israel didn't know spiritual things, folks. They did not. They couldn't understand spiritual things. They were natural. That's why when you come to that river Jordan there, and I want to give you this before I leave this morning, And you come to that River Jordan, there's one thing you need to understand about them. They had what was called mikvahs in their temples. A mikvah was running water. And in that running water, they would use it for their utensils. They would clean their utensils. And then there was two other things they would do. One of them, they would take a woman at the end of her cycle. They would come and they would take her clothes off, take all of her jewelry off, and they would take her and immerse her in that water for a cleansing process. It was part of life because she is the strong water. That's what a woman is in Scripture. A father is he's the strength of the house. She is the strong water of the house. And a son is a strong fence. That's why Cain said, am I my brother's fence? Am I my brother's keeper? He should have been, yes. That's what God designed him to be. That's why our great brother Jesus is going to be the one that protects us throughout all of eternity. Amen? It all has to draw back together. But when you come to that next one, this is the most important thing I've ever taught. If you listen to me, when you come to flowing all that stream coming out of the mountain there, off Mount Hermon and Hermon there, and coming down in them little hills, skipping along there where Jesus taught with the bread and the fishes, that stream that comes flowing down from Galilee, there's that water that produces life. In that stream, they go in there fishing. Amen? Because the number 14 letter for life is the number for the propagate life represents a fish. So that produces life. So that stream flowed out of there, coming down the Jordan River, and then John the Baptist comes and says, behold, the fifth letter of their alphabets, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Takes it away. Where does it go? Where did that sin go? All the way to the Dead Sea. Am I right? And it produces nothing. It produces nothing. Jesus stepped in that mikvah and said, you let it be so. And he stepped in that mikvah for us and he said, as he was baptized and he came up and the Spirit of God came upon him. There you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in one sentence. And the heavens were open. And the Father saying out of heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's him. And he took that for us. So every time, it's a must. And here's where your Baptist word comes in. We're a Baptist because we are immersers. We're not a bunch of sprinklers. And we get into that mikvah. Here's the key. You see, they would take a man and a woman when they were going to get married. And that man wants to be clean for his wife. That woman wants to be clean. He'd stand on each end. And they would take that man. And here's the thing. We're sinners. Right? And when we think about this and what Jesus did for us, I'm on this side. I've got to get my past behind me because I came to the cross and he forgave me all my sins. Amen? So, here she is. She said, I've been to the cross and I'm getting all my sins forgiven. Jesus died for my sins. We're going to start a new life. And they'd get into that mikvah and they would stand there and then they would immerse them in that water and they would come up from there with a new life. I am joined to you forever. Amen? That's what marriage does. And that's what God's done to you is being... He is marrying you forever. Yeah. And it starts in the heart of one single little speck of dust, and it goes on throughout all of eternity, and an eternity that has no end. Praise God. So much stuff here I've got to say about this, and we'll come back to this a little later. But I want you to understand, you've got to find an identity. An identity. I want you to... listen to me for just a minute as I give you something. And I want you to, and I'm going to have to jump over some stuff here to give this to you because time. But I want you to understand this. These people today, and I am not out to be harsh about Pentecostals. I am not out to be harsh about Methodists. I am not about Catholic. People need to be saved. I don't care who they are. Man. But the leaders in the churches are the ones that are supposed to preach to the people in the pews. Right. That's why I'm a lay preacher. I can come over here and preach to you, and I can jump back over and get preached to. Amen? I call myself a lay preacher. I don't have to go out and pastor and do all those things. I preach to myself a lot. Son, I'm a good audience. I can be rough on myself, but I know who I am. And I know what I need. But there's the reason I say this, and I want to give you the evidence, is this. You ever wonder why people would speak in tongues, and if they've got it and you can't get it, they're the only ones. They're so much different than you than anything else. That ain't God's plan for this book. When you see the unknown tongue in that Bible, it's the Hebrew language. Why? because the unknown tongue of the Old Testament is the unknown tongue of the New Testament, which is the agnosis language, an agnostic language. Agnosis means the first knowledge. That is an unknown tongue, and that's Hebrew. They don't know Hebrew because it's unknown. It doesn't take you any farther than the cross. That's the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, it's a T. That's where it takes you to, and it don't take you no farther. Everything in the New Testament has fulfilled something in the Old. It starts at the cross where it left off. Amen? And then it takes you back to the Almighty God of heaven. And when God took this out of that great void, you will not get back across that void unless you've come to Him. You will be sent into an everlasting abyss of that void. That void means emptiness, null. And you will not step back over that unless you have been come to Jesus Christ and been cleansed of your sin and been made in the image of God. That's a simple way I can put that. We must be born again. Amen. And John the Baptist, that man, there has to be a connection between everything. Esau, Edomites. Edom means Adam with a plural word to it. He is rough and hairy. You're a person, but you live a rough life. You've got it without God. And God wants to smooth you out Himself. Amen?
Amen.
You try this ecumenical junk and it will not smooth you out. And here's, listen to me very carefully. Catholicism is about if you do not be a part of the Catholic Church, you cannot be saved. It's religion. No religion can save you. If you do not trust Christ and Christ alone, you cannot get saved. You cannot add anything to grace. You cannot add anything to Christ. And it's all about grace and His mercy. It's all about Him building His house. That's what it's about. In this paper, I've got it. I pulled the same thing up you can do. That's the reason I'm telling you this. You need to think. This thing says that there's an ecumenical set for Oklahoma City meeting. And it says the National Workshop on Christian Unity, which will include 8 featured speakers and 9 seminaries on ecumenism related topics, will meet from Monday, April 16th, April 19th. This stuff is back in 2010, I think it was. Yeah, April 2012. The keynote speech entitled Vatican II, Preparing the Church for Dialogue, will be delivered by Dr. John Borelli of Georgetown University. A panel discussion entitled Implementing the Surprises of Vatican II, Ecumenical and Irreligious Relations will follow. Workshops are overseen by leaders of various Christian communions and is sponsored by the National Ecumenical Officers Association. Over here it says, the ecumenical movement towards a one-world religion seems to be gaining traction fast with the meeting of mainstream Protestant church leaders warming up to the Vatican in an effort that purports to work toward tearing down the walls of division between Catholics and Protestants. In the recent report, Christian News Net reported that 2 controversial TV preachers, Kenneth Copeland and James Robinson. I remember years ago when I listened to James Robinson, thought he was one of the greatest preachers I ever heard. He got into this ecumenical junk.
Right.
And then he said, it says this, and I'll tell you that in a minute. Recently met with Pope Francis with the aim of working together towards his goal. Copeland and Robinson are 2 religious leaders in Northeast Texas known for drawing huge crowds in their services and events and who were a part of leading the group identifying as a delegation of evangelical Christian leaders in its meeting with the Roman Catholic Pontiff late last week. Here's what Mr. Robertson said. Copeland and Robertson have both reported to have visited Pope Francis at the Vatican in June for nearly 3 hours for a prayerful discussion as described in Robertson's blog post. We continued in such glorious fellowship that words could never begin to describe it. He wrote, I am fighting back tears even as I write, so glorious was the manifest presence of Jesus. I am not going to get involved in their dialogue. I am not an ecumenical and I'm not going to be a part of it. And I can tell you over and over and over and over at the times when you get into things and away from your church setting and away from your local church and you get involved in that kind of teaching, you're going to see a downfall in your spiritual life every time. I didn't say you wasn't saved, but it's going to cost you. Because the farther you get away from God, this thing is going to be, the church is going to rule and reign with Jesus. You'll either rule and reign with Him, or you will be begging Him at His feet for mercy for eternity. And mankind will always come to the feet of Jesus and asking Him to cleanse them so they can go back out. It's a repentant process forever. Or you can rule and reign with Him. The best we want to do, man, we want to rule and reign with Jesus. Amen. They that win many to righteousness Daniel 12, shall when many to rise, it shall rule and shall reign as the stars forever and ever. They're going to shine forth. That's what it says. That's Daniel. Remember, Daniel means door to life. You go to the book, the 144,000 over there and see if you find Dan in there. No, because the final judgment has not taken place yet. And the door of life has not come open yet. Not until after the final judgment. I believe, brother, I was almost embarrassed the other night when I laid my stuff up here. And you came up here and I thought, where does he find anything to preach in that? It's almost embarrassing. What in the world is he preaching? I preach my thoughts, friend.
Yeah.
You probably won't find no outline. I ain't got to my outlines yet. I've been preaching 35 years. I ain't got no outline because I ain't got over my introduction yet, praise God. My God's so great, I ain't even introduced Him to you yet. You ought to see it when I do get happy. I can get very happy when I think of what God took me out of. You think I look rough now? You ought to saw me years ago in the woods back there. It's a tough place I came out of. I ought to be in hell burning right now, but God took me out of it, and He gave me life through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll preach Him until the last breath. I'll never apologize for what Bible I preach. I think I gave you a piece of information on that you ought to understand. They have got a reason to destroy your life,
right?
And they will do it. And it's deception. You either serve God or you serve the one that deceives you. Please take this to heart. This is just, you say this is just Sunday school. When you sit down and think, that's when you start opening up to know what God wants for your life. And that's when the God of heaven, you're freshly saved, get God, think about who He is. Put Him in your life and watch Him work in your family. He wants to bring your family together, not destroy it. There was a young guy from work here. I was hoping going to be here this morning. And he'd been going through some struggles. And I think his family is fixing to break up. And I talked to him the other day. He asked me if I'd go talk to somebody about his job. And he came in the other day and he had his hand out, shaking his hand. I got my raise. I said, how's your family, brother? Or how's your family? He said, oh, that's okay. I said, listen, we got a little church. He lives across the hill over here. Not far from you over here, I guess. And I said, how's your family? And I said, why don't you come to church and let us be a help to you? You know? Get somebody to pray for you. We go to work, we can always go to somebody and say, hey, we want to be a blessing to you. We can see people hurting at work. There's people outside there somewhere hurting.
Right.
And we're the ones that's going to have to help them. We can't let that bunch out there try to do it because they'll sneak them into hell if they can.
Yeah.
We are the ones, folks. We are the ones that need to help them. That's why I struggle with poor folks so much, because they need help. No matter what, they need help. And don't criticize them if you can't help them. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, so much for this. I pray that you would bless this lesson as I try to draw it together more and more each month as I try to bring this out. And Lord, thank you so much for your precious word. What a book you've given us. What directions you've given us. But the most important thing that we'll ever say is that we must be born again, and we thank you for our Savior that died for us. Will you bless our time together? Bless our brother as he comes and opens up the Word of God and preaches to us this morning. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.